At 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. Officials at Baylor University Medical Center in Dallas say the birth of a baby from a uterus transplant could open doors for women struggling with uterine infertility. It's the first birth as a result of a womb transplant in the United States. Baylor officials say that 8 transplants have been performed and that one of those women currently is pregnant. Dr. Giuliano Testa is the principal investigator and a surgical chief at Baylor. He talked with reporters this morning.
We know for sure that there are at least 3 or 4 major institutions in the United States who are starting or are willing to start a uterus transplant program. My personal opinion is that this is going to affect many women in the United States.
Hospital officials say the mother has returned home and the baby boy is doing fine, although he remains hospitalized for monitoring. Several weeks ago, Texas House Speaker Joe Strauss made a stunning announcement. The San Antonio Republican will not return to his position as Speaker, and he won't be seeking re-election. That leaves state lawmakers looking for his replacement. Texas House Republicans want more control over the next Speaker vote. Texas Tribune reporter Patrick Svitek talked with David Brown, host of Public Radio's Texas Standard.
Something happened on Friday, I understand, behind closed doors at the Capitol. What's up?
Yeah, the House Republican caucus got together and agreed to change their bylaws to make it so that when they select a Speaker candidate in 2019, they will do it in caucus first. They will make kind of a informal decision to rally behind a single candidate so that when they get to the full floor, when all 150 members, including the Democrats, vote on the Speaker candidate, they will basically have already made up their mind and hopefully will have a little more, much more influence in the process.
Does the Republican caucus have the power to pick who the next speaker is going to be? I mean, does that reduce the vote to a symbolic gesture?
It is an informal kind of decision. There's nothing that's going to bind the caucus members to the choice that they come up with as a group. And so there's nothing that's keeping a member of the Republican caucus for voting for someone other than their caucus choice on the floor on the first day of the session. They're hoping that they're going to all stick together and rally around one candidate. There are some folks that are a little skeptical of that and believe that once it gets to the floor, there's nothing that can be done to ensure that they all stick to one candidate.
How much of a difference is it then if, in fact, there's nothing that the Republican caucus can do to actually keep their party members in line? I suppose what this will let us know is, if nothing else, what the Republican caucus wants to see in terms of the characteristics or the ideological makeup of whoever they want to have as House Speaker.
This move paves the way for a potentially more conservative speaker than Speaker Strauss, who's, you know, known as more of a from the moderate wing of the party. So I think that is going to be the biggest potential ideological change. But, you know, the speaker election is not going to be for more than a year from now. There are two candidates already in it, state representatives Phil King of Weatherford and John Zerwas of Richmond, and at least several others are expected to get in the coming months. So nothing is certain yet.
That was Patrick Svitek with the Texas Tribune talking with David Brown with Public Radio's Texas Standard. Last month, voters chose to dissolve the school bus agency that's called Dallas County Schools. The bus service will continue through the end of the school year. Still, the Dallas School District and other districts that use the service are now scrambling to come up with plans to get tens of thousands of kids to class for the next school year. KERA's Stella Chavez has been checking in with area districts, and she talked with Eric Austin.
So Dallas School Board trustees met last week and talked about their options for providing bus service. What did they have to say?
Well, Scott Lane, who's the deputy superintendent of operations, talked about 3 different options that they looked at. One is that the district would contract out the services, which is what they've already been doing with Dallas County Schools. Another option is to do some sort of hybrid thing where they would contract out and do the service in-house. And the third option is to run the buses themselves. And Scott Lane says that's the best option.
So let's go through the reasons why he said that.
Well, one is they could start right away. There would be better accountability and control, and other major districts across the state already run their own bus service.
So how much would it cost for Dallas ISD to run its own bus services?
Well, that amount is still unknown. Lane says he's budgeted about $54 million to operate the bus service in-house. And here's what else we know, that there are more than 1,100 employees, of which 850 are the bus drivers. There are also about 925 buses. Another big issue is how much debt from Dallas County schools that county taxpayers might have to take on. The DCS tax rate is going to remain until DCS debt is paid off. For example, DISD doesn't know how many buses are leased by DCS, and if that would be considered debt, that would eventually have to be paid off by taxpayers. There are also four bus service centers that DCS has that they're leasing, and they're wondering, is that considered part of the debt? Here's Scott Lane.
We don't know what we don't know, and we're meeting with Dallas County. We meet with them every week, and we're trying to work through all the issues. First, the debts and the assets. What is debt? We don't know what that's going to be. Currently, they have approximately $50 million in bond debt. They have $90 million in other debt. So is that penny going to pay for their entire debt, or is it only going to apply to the bond debt?
By the way, the penny he's referring to is the tax rate that Dallas County levies on property owners.
Now, I know there's been a lot of concern about DCS employees, including the bus drivers. And if the Dallas School District takes over the bus service, will they have jobs with the Dallas School District? And will they get paid the same rate?
DISD says it does plan to keep many current employees working for Dallas County Schools, and they'll still be able to stay in the Texas Teacher Retirement Service. Still, Trustee Joyce Foreman didn't hold back in expressing her concerns at the meeting. Here she is asking Scott Lane about it.
Do we have any idea? We say we want to match the current salary, which is fair, but we'll be taking benefits away from them. Do we have any idea how much we'll be taking away from them?
Not at this point, because
have we looked at it?
We're looking at it right now.
Now, what about other school districts that have been serviced by Dallas County Schools, the smaller school districts in the area? What are they planning on doing?
Well, there's a dissolution committee that's been meeting to figure out how to dissolve the agency known as DCS. And each of the school districts that have been serviced by DCS have a representative on the committee. I spoke to Larry Watson. He's the interim superintendent at Cedar Hill ISD. And his district has been meeting with DeSoto and Lancaster ISD separately. And they're talking about their own transportation plans so that they don't end up competing with each other.
What's the advantage of Cedar Hill and the neighboring districts to team up instead of going to the Dallas School District?
Cedar Hill Interim Superintendent Larry Watson says it simply makes logistical and financial sense to partner with Lancaster and DeSoto ISD.
We would share the mechanics. We would share the bus storage facility. We would share the dispatch. So that simply in itself, dividing that by three, would be economically advantageous to us. Certainly, we would entertain the idea of Dallas providing that service for us if that were indeed the best choice.
So Cedar Hill and other districts aren't opposed to going with DISD, but they still have a lot of questions. They started meeting before the election to try to figure out where they stood, like how many buses do they use, how many are leased, who are their bus drivers. And they're actually planning to reach out to those drivers.
Stella Chavez, thanks so much for the update.
Thank you, Eric.
And coming up tomorrow on Morning Edition, get to know Dallas ISD's only all-boys middle school that's not a magnet campus, Florence Middle School. The school opened last year. Find out how the school and its 900 boys are doing. It's coming up at 8:20 on Morning Edition. For the evening, cloudy skies tonight. There's a 60% chance for storms later on with a low around 48. Tomorrow should be mostly cloudy, 20% chance of rain with a cooler high around 55. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.